I get so many questions about makeup as soon as people find out I'm a makeup artist that it is almost comical. So I thought it would be fun to actually record an episode answering with a pro point of view your personal makeup questions. So I am answering 10 of your questions today, from contour and highlight palettes to my favorite dupes to how 40-year-olds should apply makeup to how to wear concealer to whether eyelash curlers really work. And what about foundation and primer? How does that work? So that is in today's episode of the Be Your Own Makeup Artist podcast. I can't wait for you to tune in and see if I can answer any of your questions. You are listening to the Be Your Own Makeup Artist podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Sacharé, former military officer turned professional and award-winning makeup artist and educator, and author of the book, Be Your Own Makeup Artist. This podcast is for makeup enthusiasts, makeup artists, and everyone in between. I share insights about the beauty industry, invite industry experts, and try to keep the content more about makeup education and less about buying this or that. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy this episode. So this episode is so fun. I always love answering questions so much that I even have a place you can go on my website, nataliesacharé.com/AskSacharé. You can actually ask me your questions there. Sometimes I make it onto the blog. Sometimes I'll make it in an episode. But a lot of the times I just respond back with a quick answer. Sometimes I need a lot more information. So this episode, I'm going to be covering a lot of ground, but these are questions that I get asked fairly often. As soon as people find out that I'm a makeup artist, these are questions that I get asked a lot. So I think if I just answer them here, all of the answers and everything is going to be found in the show notes, as well as you can go to Quora and create an account. This episode is in no way, shape, or form sponsored or endorsed by Quora. This is just a place that I sometimes answer questions for people as a pro. So let's start with the first question from Amelia. Amelia asked, can an eyebrow pencil be used as eyeliner? The short answer is yes. The longer answer would be, it really depends, right? So eyebrow pencils are generally a little bit more rough. So sometimes eyebrow pencils can just be a little bit tougher and they're not going to smoothly glide for an eyeline. I do think an eyeliner can more easily be used as an eyebrow pencil. However, then you have the issue of it being really creamy. And sometimes these creamy eyeliners might have some glitter or metallic in them. Not always, but sometimes it's in there. It can be even really, really, really small particles. So I think a tip that you could do, maybe it would work, I'm not sure, this is just a trick, is if you are in a pinch and you only have an eyebrow pencil and you need it as an eyeliner, just dip it in some water or some saline and it should soften it up and then you can apply it on a lot easier. So hopefully that answers your question. Let's go on to the next question. And this one is one that I get a ton, a ton, a ton, a ton. So this is from Priyanka, and she asks, if I'm not wearing a foundation, do I really need a primer? So I have an entire blog post talking about skincare versus skin prep. And in the makeup artist world, generally, not always, there are no hard and fast rules. There are practices. A lot of professional makeup artists skip primers, okay? If you actually prep your skin for makeup, you've essentially primed your skin for makeup. So you don't necessarily want to add more product onto the face. So a primer will do that. Now, sometimes you use a primer to control redness or to control oil. There are specific purposes that you could use a primer under makeup after skin prep. So if you're not wearing foundation, you could wear a primer. You can always wear a primer without foundation, but you don't need to wear a primer if you're not wearing foundation. There would not really essentially be a need for that unless, of course, you want to maybe reduce oil, or you have redness and you want to use a color correcting primer, but you could also use a color correcting foundation. You could also use oil control moisturizer. So foundation and primer do not go hand in hand. They don't need to be used together. They both have very specific purposes. And if you are not sure what type of primer you need or what type of foundation you need, you need to really make sure you know your skin type. That is number one. You need to know your skin type, because if you don't know your skin type, then your primer and your foundation might not work, and they might actually work against you. So you can grab my skin type guide. It's very easy to read. I wrote it with an esthetician friend of mine. So we put it together. It's really easy. You can figure out your skin type. There's no sales or ads or buy anything. It is just an informational document that will help you identify your skin type. And you can get that at skincareforbeginners.com. Okay, hopefully that answers your question. What is the best natural looking foundation? Asked from Anonymous. Okay, so that is actually perfect because I kind of touched on it a little bit. Natural can mean something different to everyone, and it really depends on your skin type. So when I think of a natural foundation, I think of a foundation that isn't matte, that isn't dull, that doesn't have any shine, because our faces naturally have shine. Even me with really dry skin, I still have natural shine and glow in my face. So when I'm looking for a natural foundation, I want to make sure that I still have that. But I also don't want to look super shiny either. So when I think of a natural foundation, I look at second skin. And that's normally going to be a light, maybe a light to medium coverage that feels nice on my face and that is flexible and that moves with my face and doesn't feel like it's slipping off, but doesn't feel that it's also being absorbed in. So when you're wanting to look for a natural looking foundation, you need to make sure you're looking for the right formula for your skin type. That goes back to the skin type guide. If you have oily skin, you're generally going to want to look for a mattifying or an oil-free foundation, because that way, you're not going to add more oil to your face and look super shiny. If you have dry skin, you want to avoid oil-free or mattifying foundations, because that's going to make your skin appear even drier and you're going to lose that beautiful natural glow that you have. So I think knowing the formula for your foundation is really important, knowing your skin type. Natural looking foundation is generally going to look like your skin, which is going to mean you shop for a foundation that is formulated for your skin type, and you're going to apply that lightly, and you can always build that up. Hopefully that helps. Again, you can go grab that skin type guide if you don't know. Once you know your skin type, then you know what kind of formulas to shop for, and life will be great. Okay, number four. Dexter asks, how do I wear makeup without my parents knowing I am a tea girl? I'm assuming that is a transitioning girl. Well, first of all, congratulations. Makeup is going to be so much fun in your journey and in the future. You don't need it ever, but makeup is definitely a great way to help express yourself outwardly the way you feel on the inside and the way you identify. I did go behind my parents' back with makeup, not my parents, my dad. And I did pack my makeup bag and put on makeup in middle school without my parents knowing, although I feel like they did know, they just didn't say anything. It wasn't worth it. So I do think that it's really important to, first of all, talk to your parents about makeup. Now, makeup is for everyone. Makeup is for men and women. It is equal opportunity. There is no discrimination about wearing makeup. So that's really, really important. And I think once you can communicate this and kind of show them and teach them that there is makeup for everyone, there it's not just a feminine thing, that's important. The second thing is you want to make sure that, you know, you ease in and you have to build trust when you're learning and wanting to wear makeup. I don't know how old you are. You did say you're a tea girl, so I'm assuming you're a little bit younger. I think that going straight to red lipstick, you know, is going from 0 to 100. So maybe start with some blush, or maybe start with a little bit of highlighter, or maybe start with a little bit of clear mascara or combing and grooming your brows, or maybe just start with skincare and taking really good care of your skin and establishing trust that you know what you're doing, that you're learning, and that you're going to go slowly. I think that a lot of times I see young people going from 0 to 100. They go from not wearing the makeup to wearing a full face. And that can be shocking for parents. I'm a parent myself. If my daughter did this, which I'm sure she will, just one day is a little girl and then all of a sudden has a full-on makeup look, you know, I'll probably freak out. But if I see her gradually integrating things and creating her own style and getting comfortable with makeup, and then it won't be such a shock when I see her getting ready to go out one day with her friends or something. So I would just say start small. Start with some creams, cream blushes, cream bronzers, cream highlighters, lip balms, things that you can have access to. You can always double your lipstick up for a cream blush if it's the right color. And just start slow. And maybe a little bit of concealer if you need that. So Dexter, I hope that helps. Good luck in your transition and being and living your most authentic life. I'm so proud of you. Okay, next question. Jess asks, what are some good starter contour highlight palettes for someone with fair skin? So Jess, if you have followed me any length of time, which probably you haven't because I'm on Quora and you probably don't see my diatribes on contouring and highlighting and the word palette. So when I think of palettes, palettes have multiple colors. And a lot of times they are packaged beautifully and they look amazing and you just want to buy them and have them because they're pretty and you want them on your vanity. Well, most of the time, unless you are a professional makeup artist or even an aspiring professional makeup artist, you want to avoid those palettes and you really probably only need one or two colors. You can always change out those colors, but you don't necessarily need to buy a palette. That's the first thing. The second thing is a contour and highlight. So those are two totally different things. Contouring is a technique in makeup that has been around for a long, long, long time, especially in the drag community, but has been popularized by A-list celebrities and their makeup artists, namely Kim Kardashian and her makeup artist, Mario Dedanovic. They kind of brought back this old technique, brought it to the forefront and collaborated with some big brands and started making contour palettes and everything like that. So contouring is not something I recommend for day-to-day. I don't know if you are in the drag community or in the theater community where you might need a contour set for your fair tones. So I don't like making assumptions. So when you want to contour, that means you want to shape your face and you're going to need to go 2 to 3, maybe even 4 shades darker than your skin tone. So think of the shadow. So if you step under a shadow, the shade is going to be a certain tint of brown. It's not going to be black. It's going to be a certain tint of brown, and it's going to look different on every skin tone. So what is that color? You have to find it. You need to make sure that, especially for fair skin, you want to make sure it's not too orange or not too brown, because sometimes brown with fair can turn into a gray. And so you need to be careful. So just maybe try 3 shades darker than your skin tone and you can practice contouring. Now, I do think bronzing is great on fair skin and you're going to want to look for neutral bronzers. And that can give you the same effect as a contour, but not so harsh and is a lot more wearable day to day. So I feel like L'Oreal makes a great one. Benefit Hoola is a great fair skin bronzer. Laguna NARS is neutral, might be a little bit too dark. It's hard for me to say what is fair skin. Is it fair golden skin? Is it fair pink skin? So you need to know your undertone. If you don't know your undertone, you can do you have more yellow in your skin? Do you have more pink in your skin? You kind of need to know that. You can find all of that in my book. You can find it in Google, whatever you decide, but you need to know your undertone. And then that's going to help you to pick out what bronzer is good. So for highlight, you also need to know your undertone. So if you have more golden fair undertones, if you are golden but fair, then you're probably going to want to have highlight that's going to be a little bit more gold. If you have more cool, you're going to want highlight with more silver in it. And if you are neutral, it can kind of be like a mixed metal. It can kind of be both gold and silver. Again, there's no hard and fast rules. Highlight, you can have lots of fun with, but there's definitely not a need for you to buy a palette unless it's a palette with all shades that are suitable for your skin type. But most of the time, those palettes that you see available commercially are not. Now, I will say if you're a pro makeup artist, Danessa Myricks has some of the most beautiful highlight palettes I've seen. You should go support her ASAP. So I hope that answers your question. Number six, Kaylee asks, what is the best makeup dupe you have found? Where did you find it? And how much did it cost? So I do have a really, really, really great blog post to dupe or not to dupe. And I talk about brand conglomerates. I also discuss this at length in my book, Be Your Own Makeup Artist. But dupes are short for duplicates. I can tell you my favorite dupes. I don't shop by dupes, but if I was in a pinch and I needed something and I didn't know how something was going to perform and I needed to buy something blindly, I have my go-tos. So my favorite mascara is Giorgio Armani Eyes to Kill Classico. And I love that mascara. I love how I feel when I open it and I like applying it. My sister introduced it to me years ago and I have a good memory. So I love this mascara. It is a great mascara. It is not cheap. You know, cheap can mean something to different people. So it is on the higher end of cost of mascara. But mascaras are that one thing that you really don't need to spend a lot of money on. So I always like to keep L'Oreal, the original Voluminous Carbon Black mascara in my personal kit and in my pro kit. A lot of the best mascaras fall under L'Oreal. So one of my favorite dupes is any mascara that is in the L'Oreal brand family is probably going to work out. At least it works out for me. That's the mascara I like. The formula works for my eyes and my everything. So when it talks about cost, you know, you can go to Nordstrom or Neiman Marcus, or I don't know if Sephora has Giorgio Armani, but you can get that Giorgio Armani for $30 or $36, and then you can go and get your L'Oreal mascara for like $7 at the drugstore. Another dupe that I like, it's not a dupe, but if I was in a pinch or if I needed something personally, I love the NARS Creamy Radiant Concealers. Those are what I use in my Pro Kit. But for the longest time, I couldn't afford that, and I needed to use a really good quality concealer and have the entire shade range. And I use the NYX HD concealer wands. I use those instead of the NARS. And I eventually upgraded to the NARS because I could afford it. They're not a dupe. It doesn't perform the same, but it performs really well. And it performed for all the purposes that I needed. So that is a great concealer that I like. And it costs the fraction of what the NARS costs. And I guess the last one is another NYX dupe. It's not a dupe, but lip pencils. So I need to keep a lot of lip pencils in my kit because I have a lot of different lipsticks and a lot of different colors that I need for different skin tones and types and shoots and all that good stuff. So I really enjoy the NYX lip pencils. I enjoy the MAC lip pencils, and I really enjoy Charlotte Tilbury lip pencils more than the NYX ones. And so I keep the MAC and the Charlotte Tilbury ones in my kit, but I also keep a lot of the NYX ones in colors that I don't use as much in my kit. So those are some dupes that I like. And again, the price difference is pretty substantial. So Kaylee, I hope that answers your question. So let's see. Number seven. How should a 40-year-old apply makeup? Chashi. I hope I said that right. First of all, Chashi, you should apply makeup however you want because makeup is for everyone. Apply makeup however you want. However, I will say this. as we get older, you know, we get more wrinkles, our skin isn't as elastic, it loses some of that glow, although genetic, some people have beautiful skin the older they get. But for a lot of us, as we get older, gravity takes an effect on us and our skin kind of starts sagging and all that good stuff. So the first thing that is really important is to take care of your skin and make sure your skin is good. And I mentioned it in another question, in question two, in Priyanka's question, skincare is really important and skin prep for makeup. And when it comes to my, you know, 40 plus year old clients, which I'm not far from that, I apply the same way. I just generally apply less. And I do make sure to really focus on the skincare, focus on the skin prep, and sheer out my foundation. Because normally, not always, my 40-year-olds, they're kind of over the hormonal acne, although there is adult acne, but sometimes it's the acne. And if there's discoloration, I like to reduce redness. There's Sonia Rosselli. She has a YouTube channel now. She is specifically teaching people in their 40s and their 50s and older how to apply makeup. She also founded an amazing skin prep line, which I will link to you in the show notes. You can buy her entire line. It doesn't matter what skin type you have. It works for everyone. And if you have rosacea or any sort of redness, her water elixir and her water balm are amazing. And that's going to help reduce that. But really, less is more. Find a good and suitable foundation that works for your skin type. And, you know, really curl those eyelashes. Add an extra coat of mascara on. Add some life back to your eyes. Make sure if you want, you know, brows and you don't have them, or if they've kind of become lighter and you don't have the frame face, you know, go get those micro needles or go get them tinted or something so you don't have to worry about that every day. But, you know, do your brows. As we get older, we don't have melanin in our lips, so our lips fade. And so a good lipstick is amazing, and taking care of your lips. So those are some things that you can do when you're in your 40s that will really pay off a lot more than when you're in your 20s. Also, avoid glitters and anything with lots of sparkle in it. What happens is this glitter is all that's left on our face. I'm not saying don't use it. I love to have fun with makeup. I don't say, no, you can't wear it. It can be unflattering really quickly. So if you keep with the less is more, then everything will be good. Okay, Abigail asks, in question number 8, how do I apply concealer and what is the best brand to buy? How do you apply concealer? It really depends on what you want to conceal. If you know me, then you know that I am all about less is more. I have an amazing diagram in my book on concealer specifically. It is not what you see on YouTube. It's not what you see on Instagram, but it does show how to apply and where to apply concealer. Now, there are two types of concealing. Are you concealing a zit or are you concealing a large swath of area? If you're wanting to use concealer to cover up larger than a quarter, then you need to probably check your foundation. Your foundation should be doing that. If you are going to be doing color correction, you know, in the eye, under the eye, which is really popular, or right, you know, between your nose or on your chin or right on your forehead or on your nose, if you want to conceal that, then you can make sure that there's the right color correction in there, because under the eye, it's normally purple or blue, in which case you're going to need a concealer that has yellow or apricot in there to cancel out any of the discoloration. You know, there's no one size fits all. How do I apply concealer? It depends on where you want to do it. What is the best brand to buy? That also depends on your skin type. However, the ones that I mentioned in Kaylee's question and question number 6 about the best dupes, I really do love the NYX concealing wands, the HD ones. Those are great. I also really love the NARS Creamy Radiant. I have also used Makeup Forever cream concealer, and the MAC Pro Longwear concealer is also great. It really depends on your skin type. It depends on what you want to do, and best of luck to you with your concealer. Just remember, with concealer, less is more. And if you're concealing a large area of your face, it's better to use a foundation. Also, a lot of times as a pro, I do use my foundation as a concealer. And I use the Danessa Myricks foundation in my kit. So number 9, Angel asks, what are some of the most challenging faces to do makeup on? How do you accentuate challenging features on someone as a makeup artist? And what are some examples? So I don't believe in challenging faces. I believe everybody is unique. And there are some people that have really unique features. And there are people that are kind of more standard, right? It depends on where in the world you are as well. So for me, this is not like a difficult face to work on. The problem that I have on Angel is that I have clients sometimes that have a face structure or an eye shape or a lip shape that is different than the look that they want. So let's just give an example. Let's say I have an Asian client, someone who has beautiful features from Southeast Asia, and then they give me an inspiration image of like Jessica Simpson or something, and they want to look just like that. Well, you know, there are makeup artists that can do that. And I like to celebrate the beauty of the individual. So I can say these colors are great. We can do something similar, but I really, really like to showcase the natural features of the client. And so when I have clients who maybe have mono-lid eyes, but they're showing that they want Western eyes, instead of, you know, making their eyes look like Western eyes, I accentuate their beautiful, gorgeous mono-lid eyes. And a lot of times they have jawlines and cheekbones to kill for that you just wish that you had or wish Jessica Simpson had. So I'll play those up. I really like to focus on those beautiful features instead of looking at someone saying, well, they don't have a face that we see in the beauty industry. We normally see Caucasian women or even women of color with oval faces and almond eyes and big lips and this very defined cheekbones. So that's not everybody. That's actually not most people. That's not most of my clients. I have lots of clients with round faces or lots of clients with hooded eyes or lots of clients with square shaped faces or rectangular or oblong. And so those are some ways that I like to explain to my clients that they are totally normal, that what they see on TV and what they see in the influencer space is great and it can be used for inspiration. So when I would say something that's challenging is if I have clients that have really, really serious skin issues, I am not an esthetician. Because I'm not an esthetician, I have to be very, very careful making sure that I am not working on someone with skin issues that I would potentially exasperate. So if I have clients that have, you know, cystic acne or pretty severe rosacea or melia, or there's so many different skin issues, I guess, a lot of times I'll ask them, you know, what they use. I make sure that they sign off on allergies. I make sure to be really careful in what I use. And sometimes that can be difficult because, again, when you put on makeup, it doesn't change the texture of your skin. Sure, you can smooth out skin with a primer. And if you heard a few questions ago, that would be an instance. If I did have a client who had pretty, pretty deep and textured acne or acne scarring, then I would want to put on a primer to help fill it in, any of the scars, or to help even out the surface of the skin. However, if they have oily skin, you know, I would need to make sure that that primer that I'm using doesn't have silicone in it, because silicone and oil don't work well together. And a lot of times the primers that do that have silicone in it. So there's so many things that you need to look out for. But the challenging part with, you know, acne and covering up acne is that you can cover it up, but you can't change the texture of the skin. And, you know, when we're looking at all these images in the beauty industry, we're seeing this perfectly smoothed out Photoshop skin, and we're not seeing the texture. We're not seeing that every single person has pores, and they're all sometimes different. Some people have big pores. Some people have small pores. Some people look like they don't have pores, you know? So on how there are no challenging faces, there are sometimes challenging requests from clients that make our jobs hard as makeup artists. But there's never like somebody who comes to me and says, oh my God, I have my work cut out for me, because I don't approach my job like that ever. I love to make people feel beautiful. And when I see and have somebody who is very unique, I love it. I get to celebrate that. Okay. Last but not least, Holly asks, does using an eyelash curler really make a difference? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Most of the time. There are people that are born with naturally curled lashes. I'm super jealous of you. You know if you have naturally curled lashes. You know. Probably because if you put on mascara without curling your lashes, the mascara touches under the eyebrow bone, you know it's curled because that happens. Or sometimes even further back. So those people, you don't need to use an eyelash curler. There are some people that have super, super straight eyelashes that for the life of them cannot hold a curl at all. They've tried. They've tried the heated ones. They've tried the mini ones. They've tried the regular ones. They've even tried getting it like a little perm. They have those where you can have it, you know, temporarily / permanently curled. I mean, people go to great lengths to curl their eyelashes because, yes, it's like an instant eye lift, especially as we get older, especially in the outer corner. So a lot of times people will curl their lashes, but they're only curling the inner to the middle lash, but they're kind of skipping the outer lash. But it's really the outer lash that you want to curl because that's going to create that natural kind of cat eye. It's going to naturally extend and make our eyes go outward. So, yes, using an eyelash curler really does make a difference most of the time, depending on your eyelash type. So yes, do it. And if you do, send me a picture. Show me with one without and one with. Now, I will say that for the longest time, I was using an eyelash curler that is available at the drugstore. It was a Revlon one. I'm not going to throw shade at Revlon. I used this Revlon eyelash curler for a long time, because I didn't think that you needed to actually spend real money in an eyelash curler, even as a pro. Until I bought, I'm not saying go buy it, but I bought the Kevin Aucoin eyelash curler. And oh my gosh, I mean, night and day. It took me way longer with my Revlon curler than it did with my Kevin Aucoin one. Time is money, getting ready. So if you can turn your eyelash curling from 30 seconds into 10 seconds, you know, that's awesome. And I love and swear by the Kevin Aucoin eyelash curler. I will link all of the products that I talk about in the show notes, by the way. But again, this is not sponsored by anybody. This is my opinion on things. Shu Umera also makes a really good eyelash curler. And you can get mini eyelash curlers. So they're half the size. And you can do those to especially get those outer corner ones. Or if you have some stubborn lashes that need curling that have a hard time, you can try it with that. Again, you can get heated ones. You can blow your blow dryer onto it to heat it so you don't have to buy a heated one. I mean, people go to great lengths to curl their eyelashes because, yes, it really, really does make a difference. So I hope that answers your question. And yeah, that was such a fun episode. I could answer your questions all day, seriously. But if you have a question for me, you can go over to Quora. You can go into Reddit. You can go to nataliesetare.com/askcetare and ask me your question. You can even leave me a voicemail and I will answer to it on air. I would love to do this every episode, answer a few questions. Make sure if you haven't subscribed to my email list that you do that. I only send out one email a month, okay? So you're not going to be bombarded. You can sign up to get notifications for new podcasts and new blogs and stuff like that. That's separate. But I do only send out one email a month to my main list. You can get on that list, nataliesetare.com/get-on-my-list. And I'm just so glad that you are here. And please make sure if you like this episode, if you like my content, tell your friends, leave a review if you feel compelled. Follow me on Instagram. Give me a little like-a-roo. It means a lot to me to have listeners like you guys, and you guys are great. I always love getting your screenshots and your DMs. So that is it. Can't wait to see you next time. Stay beautiful and stay healthy.